attorney relationship, or serves as legal advice counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
We're talking about elections have consequences. Oh, you remember when Obama said that? Elections have consequences, everyone. And we're going to talk about that theme and the National Month of Nonviolence that was held in October by the mighty Black Women for Positive Change and so many organizations around this country and even internationally. You're going to hear about why it is so important to have a National Month of Nonviolence to focus our energies on peaceful coexistence. Oh, you're going to hear about that. You're going to also hear about the rise of hate, all the legislative threats that have been going on in the Congress. You're going to hear about how some of this is just historic, right? And how some of this is brand new and what we got to do about it. And you're going to hear some of our thoughts about what President Biden needs to do in his last 8 weeks in office. And going to hear so much more. But before we get to our guests and our show, let me introduce my mighty, amazing co-host. He is the chair of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition. He is one of our nation's most mightiest lawyers, one of the thought leaders, one of the political commentators. Yes, you hear him all over the radio all the time. He is amazing. He is just so bold, and he is one of the mighty leaders of the Transformative Justice Coalition. I'm talking about none other than Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be noon. It must be Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time, because we're talking about igniting change. And Barbara, my goodness, what changes are being ignited across the country as we speak? You know, I could think of no better two guests to have on to talk about the changes that we see and how to stand up to the changes that we don't like and what we need to do and how to identify them and understanding some of the historical ramifications of what has happened. You know, sometimes the past is a predictor of the future. Sometimes the past gives you the blueprint for how to deal with issues in the future. And it's going to be an interesting conversation. I can't wait to delve into it because this is just going to be a powerful, informative, and mighty show, Barbara.
Right. And as I recently wrote on LinkedIn, yes, you can follow me on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. That thing called X. I'm on, you know, Facebook, all of that. So it's there. I just want people to know that I just wrote that the past isn't even over. You know, let's be clear that sometimes when you're talking about Wilmington, for example, the Wilmington coup of 1898, some of that's not even over. So let's go to our mighty guests. I know you're out there listening to the show while you're hunting turkeys and shopping. I just escaped the grocery store. Oh, my God, Daryl. It was long lines. It was ugly, but I made it, and I'm happy to be
free. Wait a minute, Mark. What did you say they're hunting turkeys? You went for a live turkey?
They're out there trying to find them because it's kind of bad. These grocery stores are running out of all kind of stuff. But anyway, folks, let's get it on. Let's get it on. I am so glad that we have an amazing leader who has agreed to be on our show today. It's so long we've been wanting her back on our show. for, you know, a good feature interview where we can talk a lot about the work that's being done. We are just so absolutely grateful that Dr. Stephanie Myers has agreed to join us. She is the national co-chair of Black Women for Positive Change, and she is the vice president of R.J. Myers Publishing and Consulting Company. She recently managed the Global 13th, you heard me, Global 13th Annual Month of Nonviolence, Families, Voter Rights, and Opportunities, sponsored by Black Women for Positive Change. The Month of Nonviolence included dozens of violence prevention programs in 7 states in the United States and 7 countries in Africa and the United Kingdom. She is also author of The Invisible Queen, a book about Queen Charlotte, the mixed race queen of England. But she is our queen because she fights for our rights. I'm talking about none other than Dr. Stephanie Myers. Welcome to back to Igniting Change.
Well, thank you for that amazing introduction. And I really just want to start off by thanking you and Attorney Darrell Jones for the fabulous work that you did during this last election. Democracy is about people being involved, and you guys organized from one end of the country to the other. You traveled thousands of miles, and I just want to open up with a thank you to you.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Thank you. You're so grateful to all of those hundreds of partners, right, Darrell, throughout the country who helped us in those 13 states where we were on the ground making a difference. Come on now, people. I know you're going to say, nah, you couldn't be in those 13 states. Yes, we were. And we were on the ground working with the local communities, helping to get the vote out. But more importantly, making sure that every person who wanted to vote had that opportunity. We fought in the courts. We fought in the streets. We fought everywhere. Right, Darrell?
Absolutely, Barbara. And, you know, that's a perfect segue because, you know, Dr. Myers, you know, if no other time, this is the time to sit back and say thank you. Because
yes.
Black women across this country showed up and showed out, and it was because of leaders and organizations like yours that Black women came together and came out to vote. And I, Barbara, you got me started now, and I don't want to stop there, Dr. Myers, because Black men are owed an apology, and
we were the
recipients of all this. Black men ain't going to vote, and black men ain't going to do this, and black men ain't going to do that. Well, guess what? For the Democratic Party, the number two voting category of person, first was black women, number two was black men. So black men showed up, and they did their thing, and they're owed an apology. I'm sorry, Dr. Myers. Barbara got me started on that. I apologize. Kind of.
Now, Dr. Myers, you know it doesn't take anything to get Darrell started.
Both of you, two of a kind, and I just love it. And that's the kind of energy level that we need. And I would like to officially say on behalf of every black woman in America and the world, we love and trust and honor our black men. We are so proud of the work that you've done. We're proud of the fact that you've brought us through 400 years of enslavement in this country and to freedom, and that you've risked your lives. You've stayed with our families. So, yes, Darrell, black men are entitled to an apology not only for this election, but for 400 years of residence in this particular country and for everything else. So thank you. And we apologize and we love you.
You know that's right. And I want to start off, Dr. Myers, by your telling our audience, I know a lot of people's ears, you know, went up when they heard you mentioned the 13th annual Month of Nonviolence, Families, Voter Rights, and Opportunities. Tell us about that. How did it get started? What have you been, what was it like this year to actually run that program, not only domestically here in the U.S., but internationally? Tell us about it.
Well, we started really back in 2012. Our organization started out as Black Women for Obama. And after he got reelected, we had to decide, well, do we stick together or do we split apart? And right around that time, we said, let's continue on with our work And then Trayvon Martin got killed. And we had started out wanting to do building pathways to success for our kids, helping them get into schools. We wanted to have a positive initiative. But there was something about that Trayvon Martin situation, and even President Obama said it could have been my son. So it really brought us face to face with the fact that our children were being attacked and murdered on the way to the convenience store for a soft drink, and that had to stop. So we started off with a day of nonviolence right here in Washington, D.C. We were over at Metropolitan AME Church, and that was in 2012. And then we went to a week of nonviolence about 3 years later. And then other states said, look, we want to get involved. And we said, okay, great. So we expanded to different states in the country. And now here we are at the 13th year of putting together leadership. What we do is we reach out to people, whether it's in America, South Korea, the United Kingdom. We had 6 African countries this time that participated. And we say to people, you are a leader. We must stop the violence. We have to teach our young people how to control anger. We have to really mobilize our communities and our families. And that is our goal. And that's why we say the month of nonviolence is during October every year. And we have to change the culture of violence. Because as you and Attorney Darrell know, America was born into violence. And so we're living in a culture that has been here now for 400 years. We have to change it.
And it's a country that has celebrated violence, right? I mean, every time, you know, I turn on, you know, the TV and I see these Westerns and shoot 'em ups, as my dad used to call them, you know, and all the pride people taking their guns and et cetera, you know, you're reminded that, you know, we are, you know, a culture, you know, of violence. What are some of the strategies, tactics, and techniques you've been using to help people de-escalate violence, to stop, you know, to actually look at the beauty of nonviolence? And, of course, you know, we have a beautiful tradition of that in the African-American community, you know, with Dr. King, you know, adopting the Gandhian nonviolence principles. You know, tell us about what some of the programming looks like on the ground for the National Month of Nonviolence.
Well, it really takes place in every community in a different way, which is the way that it should happen, because you're absolutely right. Television, films, the films that are out right now, the big popular ones, they're all about violence and hatred,
yes,
and conflict and confrontation. And these are the movies that are making hundreds of millions of dollars, because Americans have been trained to believe that somehow violence is the way to go. You're wrong, I'm right, and I'm going to force you to see it my way. Well, what we've been trying to do is institute peace circles as one of our priorities. Restorative justice peace circles is a model that anyone can use, families, workplaces, churches, and it's really been such an amazing learning experience. And on October 17th, we took a group of 16 teenagers from 5 high schools here in the District of Columbia and Maryland. We took them over to the White House, and we had a peace circle with the Deputy Director of the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, and he's a victim of gun violence. So we sat there with the kids, and the peace circle, like you said, it's an indigenous experience that the African culture has used for thousands of years. The Native Americans here in America have used it. People sit around and talk about how do they feel about violence. Have they ever been a victim? Has a loved one been a victim? Did they feel guilt about it? Have they perpetuated violence themselves? We try to get all of it out on the table and get people to talk about their real, honest, firsthand experiences with violence and what they can do to change that. One of the situations we had over in Ghana was that they were having the peace circle, and the coordinator for that project told us that after they had a peace circle for a couple of hours, the following week, one of the women who had been in the peace circle in a Ghana village came and told her that her family had been fighting for 10 years about some family issue, and they just couldn't get over it. And after she'd been through the peace circle, she went to her family and sat them down for 3 hours. And they put all the issues on the table. And everyone cried and hugged and felt better and got reunited.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is
just what it was.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, it really is, particularly